I have walked out on a pool deck and been like, excuse me. And it didn't go over very well, so I didn't do that again.
No.
Excuse me.
Welcome to Fit to Be Radio. Slip on your minimal sneakers, notch your headphones into your ears, tuck your smartphone into your pocket, and take us along for a walk while we talk. Or just grab a cup of your favorite drink and get on the floor and stretch a bit while we bring you all things fitness, core, and diastasis recti related.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Yep. All right.
Born ready.
Born ready. I love that.
I love your first one, though, when you're like, I wish I could just say all those things.
I know.
That is so bad.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fit to Be Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'm your host today. I'm also the co-founder of Fit to Be Studio, here with Beth Learn. She's the CEO and founder of Fit to Be Studio. And we've got a guest today that I'm looking forward to talking to. Her name is Rachel Supke. Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing super good. Where are you coming to us from today?
I live in Everett, Washington.
About
35, 40 minutes north of Seattle.
Okay. Yeah. It's up there. It's nice and wet and rainy and cold up there.
It's actually partly cloudy at the moment.
Oh, good.
I'm hoping it holds out till track practice.
Okay.
I'm not in the pouring rain, but
Beth, how about you? Is it raining where you are?
No, it's partly cloudy. I see a smidge of blue sky. You know, we people in the Pacific Northwest, we like to distinguish our weather patterns because when it's not raining, that variation is important to us.
There's a lot of different kinds of not raining.
Matters.
There's a lot of different kinds of rain too.
Oh my gosh. So how long have you lived in Everett?
This is our eighth year. My husband and I moved up here in 2010.
Okay. And you're from?
Seattle.
Seattle.
We went to college in Seattle and then we worked in Seattle for a while. We're both trained teachers. I'm not teaching right now. I'm a stay-at-home mom. But and then we moved up to Everett a couple years after we got married and we've been here since. And now when people ask us, oh, where are you from? Most people say like where they grew up.
Yeah.
But no, we say we're from Everett. So
from Everett. Yeah,
definitely our place.
And you have three adorable kids.
Yes. All under six. So that's fun. That's why I'm not working.
Yeah. It's a busy season.
They're also awesome.
You're working a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I work all day with them and then I work with teenagers and I go home and I work with my kids again.
So you work with teenagers. So you'll work with athletes, correct?
Yes. My outside of the house job is...
Mike is on the
print. Oh, go ask him to get down, please. Thanks, sis.
Love it. Real time. Hey, it's good. We've had that. It's all cool. Every mom listening is like, yes.
Exactly.
She has embraced her job as older sister, and it's very nice. Sometimes too much, and we're working on that.
That's all right.
Yeah, no, okay, so my paid job... in the fall, I'm the head cross country coach at Everett High School, and that's for boys and girls. And in the springtime right now, I'm the head track and field coach, which is also co-ed. And then one of my new assistants, half jokingly, she's like, so, but what do you actually coach? She's like, you'd coach something, right? I'm like, no, I just do the papers and sit here and watch you guys. No, I coach high jump and pole vault. So those are the two events that I am responsible for.
Got it.
I did some pole vaulting in high school.
Do you remember what you cleared?
Maybe
three. No. You would have cleared a lot higher than that.
I don't remember. Well, it might have been like six or seven. I don't really know because it was a situation where our track and field coaches were emphatic that we should try every event at the start of each year. And so we would all begin by doing all the things for the first three or four practices we'd have to try. Yeah. And they said it doesn't just develop your bodies in different ways. And it also helps us find if there's any people who are good at something that you don't even know you're good at. And so I was like, maybe I'll be good at pole vaults.
You cut out just when you said how high you cleared. What did you say?
The first time or the second time?
I don't know. What was it?
I don't know. It was like, it wasn't very much. It was like maybe 6 or 7 feet. I just was not that good at it.
It was probably 7.
I mean, I would like more like launch myself straight through the pole instead of over it.
Yeah. I tried it a couple times in high school. I didn't, getting it to bend and all of that didn't ever connect. Didn't ever connect at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually had a boy yesterday because I made him move his hand grip up the pole. And the farther up the pole your hand grip is, the more the chance of bending. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want the pole to bend. And I was like, no, you do. Trust me. And he's like, ah! Yeah. And he finally trusted me and moved his hand grip up. And he planted, he took off, and he's in the air. And it was so funny because the pole starts to bend and you can just see his face like, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I mean, he's totally safe. He's totally fine. I mean, you don't move a kid's hand grip up unless they can show you that they have the appropriate instincts of how to ride a pole.
Right.
But
ride a pole.
It was so funny because he landed. He's like, I don't know if I like that. I'm like, well, if you want to vault the heights that you tell me you want to vault, you're going to have to like it. So we'll figure it out. You'll be okay.
There's a ton of core technique in pole vaulting, and we're going to get to some of that.
Yes.
What is a average high school kid, how high do they pole vault? Like, what are they doing in your group?
Well, I have 3 boys right now that are like ready to go. I have more kids that haven't developed enough to be safe enough to vault yet. So you can practice, and there's things that you can do in practice that you can do safely that you can't do until, like, you can't compete until you can show me you can do those things consistently and safely.
Mm-hmm. That's that progression.
Yes. And so once you, somebody is screaming downstairs, I'm wondering who it is. It's probably because he got something taken away from him.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. That's the problem. But anyway, I have a bunch of kids in the progression stage, but my 3 boys who are actually vaultable.
Right.
One is currently vaulting 11 feet, one's vaulting 9, and one's vaulting 7'6".
Nice.
So, and then I have a girl who's kind of on and off. She's vaulted the last couple of years, but this season hasn't been around very much, and she vaults 9 or 10.
Wow.
Nice.
But you're not going to go to state unless you vault in the 13s.
Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's okay. That's a big range.
It's a very big range, and it's interesting as a coach because, like I said, there's a progression, and there's some things I'm telling my 11-foot kid that my 9-foot kid has no realm of understanding yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because he just hasn't gotten there.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really interesting to develop all these different stages at once.
So we talk a lot about the core and its strength and relating to it and things like that. So pole vaulting, I know nothing about it. I know Beth was a pro in high school, but it seems like in track and field, one of the most core centered events you could possibly do, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the whole situation. So how do you help your students do that? Like, how do you help them do it safely and so forth?
Well, and before you answer, I want to just say that one of the reasons we had you on, Rachel, and for everybody listening, is that I follow you on Instagram. Mm. You've been a client of mine for years. How long have you been a member of Fit to Be?
Well, I truthfully tried to think about the other day. It's got to be at least 5 years.
Yeah. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. But like, you'll post about doing the workouts, but then you also post things like what you're doing with the kids. And it's so fascinating to me to see how you've applied to be to how you train kids. And I think that's like, that's where we're really going with this podcast is we really want to reach other coaches and trainers with, you know, how do you just even ground level take some of these tummy safe strategies, because these kids need to do certain motions to perform their sport. So then how do we offer a progression, and how do we scale it in a way to keep it safe? Because it's not that they can't do these motions, it's how they're doing them.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing for me is it may not necessarily be like, I do workouts myself every single day.
Right.
But the education that I've learned by doing Fit to Be workouts, by reading blogs you've put out, mm-hmm. by links that you've sent, hey, read this, read this, read this, if you want to know. Basically I've internalized all of that. And mm-hmm. then when I have workout, I need an athlete to do, my first thought now, my first instinct is, but how is it tummy safe? Not that right. they need it to be tummy safe, but that's right. just what I'm used to doing, like mm-hmm. for myself.
Right.
And so even that's how I cue them. I cue right. them to do things the way that I know is tummy safe. And so it's truthfully, it isn't necessarily a checklist, but it's just become a part of how I coach. It's just right. been, this is, I know that this is better for you. So mm-hmm. we're going to do it this way. Like we never, ever do sit-ups as a thing.
Mm.
Ever.
And there's a lot of pole vault coaches who probably would and do. Oh. I know they had me doing them in high school because they think, okay, they need to be able to do this jackknife motion. So yep. to be able to do the jackknife motion up over the pole, we need to have them do sit-ups.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's crazy because it's just kind of second nature, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just little things. Like I said, it's the right. cueing of how do you get someone to do something they've never done before?
Right.
Especially when they're in the air and they've just run full speed at something and it's a lot. I mean, yeah. and these kids are like, what, 15, 16 years old?
Right.
And so that's another right. hurdle of like, okay, how do I talk to you about this?
Right.
Yeah. Know their body. And it's teaching kids how to learn where their core is, not lift up your shirt, show me your six pack core.
Right.
I mean, but that's all they think about. They just think, am I going to look good in a swimsuit when track season's over? Some right. of them. That's all they want to know. And then others, I'm like, no, let's think about it. Try this. I mean, simple things like, can you pull your belly button back to your spine?
Mm-hmm.
Can you find it?
Right.
Yes or no? Like my boy who's going 9 feet right now, he really needs to work on being upright. And he cannot be upright if he doesn't use his core.
Right.
And so literally I made him lay down on the turf and I'm like, okay, put your hand on your stomach. And we just kind of went through a progression of, you need to feel what your body is doing.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know how to tell it to do that. And I'm like, well, you're going to lay here until you figure it out.
Everybody else is doing laps and he's laying down.
Yes, but people are doing their workout. And I'm like, yeah. you are working out. It does not feel like it, but I promise, if you do this, when you're in the air, you're going to make the pole go where it should go. The pole is not going to move you. You are going to move the pole, which is more right. important. And mm-hmm. it's, I mean, my kid he's just getting there. He's like 7'6" right now. And his big thing is he takes off and you have to be in this drive position, which is right. If you're a right-handed vaulter, your right hand's up, your left hand's low, but on the pole. And then your right knee is driven
mm-hmm.
up and your left leg is down and straight. So you're in this takeoff position.
Right.
Well, he gets in that takeoff position and lets his core go.
Okay.
Well, then the pole is going to move him. He's not going to move the pole. Right. And every time he falls over to the right, every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time I got him to use his core and I was like, pull your belly button to your spine. Just try it once. He went straight in and he turned around, popped off the mat. He's like, whoa, it worked.
Yeah.
What am I going to tell you something that doesn't work?
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
But,
and for all of those that are listening that are like, you know, knowing that the core is not just about pulling the belly button to the spine, obviously. I mean, we know there's yes. tons of right. things, biomechanic, but again, like she said, these are young kids and there's one all kinds of time. Things. So if you can give them one cue,
yeah, one.
If you can give them the one cue that's, yeah. and remembering the core does co-activate, that's the beauty of it. So if you can just get the core to fire somehow,
yes.
and trust that the rest of it's going to kick in yes. a functional young core, then that's going to be amazing. And like yeah. you said,
yeah. that's so that's a big thing is with each kid, how can you get them to understand their body? And for so many kids, they have not been taught to listen to their bodies at all. Mm-hmm. They've just been taught here's the sheet, here's the workout, check, right. check, 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 check. Did you do it?
Right.
Well, that's great that you checked it off, but do you know what you had your body do?
Right.
And mm-hmm. with a pole vaulter, they have to know what their body's doing, especially when they're literally flinging themselves into the air. Like
right.
you have to have some semblance of understanding. I mean, right. my 11-foot vaulter jokes that he closes his eyes, that's fine if you close your eyes, if you know what your body's doing. I truthfully don't care.
Right.
But that works for him. It totally works.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You've got to make it so that all of the right things just become second nature.
Yes.
Just happen.
It's practice.
So have you found as a coach, coaching these different events, have you found that you have to modify a lot of what would traditionally be part of the training regimen to be more safe for the core?
Yes, absolutely. I have several resources that I've gathered over the years of whether it's a course I've bought online or a course that I've attended or just references from other coaches. And a lot of it is not stuff that, in my opinion, is actually functionally useful in terms of strength. And so, I mean, a lot of, unfortunately still, and in every track event, truthfully, and cross country, I realize we're talking about pole vault at the moment, but everything that I've coached in the last 5 to 10 years, a lot of this stuff does not focus on functional strength. It is kind of old school. And
what is this? Well, it's time
not
to
big.
Okay, it's time to play then. You want to say hi? Mm-mm. Okay. And then Mrs. Alberts will be there soon. Mrs. Alberts is coming.
We're going to watch the...
Okay. No problem.
Good job, Mom.
Okay, that's fine.
Trouble with wilderness vet.
Oh, no.
Good show. Good show.
Okay, yes, I do think that a lot of stuff is antiquated. It's the wrong word because it's not like that old.
Right.
But it's not up to speed with functional fitness.
Right.
Like my cross country kids, we don't do typical core. We do yoga at the end of practice.
Okay.
And they still get their core workout.
Right.
They get a ton of flexibility work.
Yeah.
2 years ago we had, gosh, 5 boys under 16 minutes for their 5K. Incredibly fast runners, but cannot do downward dog at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's going to be better for your bodies.
Right.
Ultimately, if you can do this, it will also improve your running. You don't believe me, but it will.
Right. Well, yeah, because of hamstring length and calf length and all the things.
And yeah. But coach, this is silly. I'm like, no, it's not.
You could just see it.
And at the time I was, gosh, 38, 39 weeks pregnant with my second kid. And I am doing yoga better than them because I've kept up the practice.
Right.
And I vividly remember it was the third districts is on a Saturday. It was the Thursday before districts. And this boy who I'd had for 3 years, we were doing yoga and there aren't very many kids left by districts because that's postseason. Mm-hmm. And from the back of the gym, I think I did it. I think my ears are between my elbows. I think I did it. And he was so proud of himself. But his ears were finally between his elbows. His heels were finally on the ground. He'd been working at this and he didn't realize that it actually is a big deal. And then here he is. And his exclamation, and he was not a very emotional kid one way or the other. And I was so proud of him to A, do it, but B, be excited about it. Like he was proud because he had put in work. And I was like, look, you can accomplish things that you A, initially thought were silly and B, you thought were really, really hard.
Yeah.
And look what you did.
Yeah.
So,
that's
I mean,
Chris, you ran cross country. That's actually how you met your wife, who is my good friend.
Oh, cool.
What kind of core training do you remember doing, Chris, back
Absolutely back no core training at all.
Oh, really? No sit-ups? No, just running. Oh, that's interesting.
Just running and stretching. And stretching we didn't really do any stretching before. We only did stretching after, and it was 3 to 5 minutes. And it was often just on our own anyway, like the coach, we would talk about some things and then we would go, like if it was a long run, then the coach wasn't even around afterwards.
Yeah.
But tiny, tiny 2A school though.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. No core training at all.
Huh. Sometimes I think that's better. Like if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know why you're doing it with your athletes, just train the event, because the event itself is going to have core work in it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because yeah. there's stuff, if you're not training the proper technique mm-hmm. for the core work that you are providing, you are risking issues. Right. First and foremost being that your female athlete pelvic floor, the muscles mm-hmm. that hold everything up and in, are not the same as boys. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if girls are not managing the pressure right, they can prolapse. Boys and girls can get diastases before they have kids while they're doing their sport. Mm-hmm. We see it all the time. And it's just so unnecessary.
I had never thought of that, but you're totally right that girls mm-hmm. and boys are, I mean, duh, girls and boys are different, but I hadn't right. thought about how non-functional exercises could be yeah. so detrimental.
Right.
But I also truthfully have not ever thought about that because I only have my kids do functional exercises.
Right.
So let's talk about that. You mentioned the functional exercises. So what do you mean when you say functional exercises?
Every movement has to have a correlation to what you do in your event. So okay. like a sit-up, Beth, you made the connection that technically that's what you want your body to do, but actually
sort of, not really, right? You're going to go there.
I say a good pole vaulter, not full, a good pole vaulter stays long and swings. And so they actually stay in that really long yeah. drive position. They keep their yeah. left leg down. And when they feel the pole start to unfurl a bit, so you kind of have to be on the bend at that point. When you start to feel it unfurl a bit, then you actually drop your right leg to join your left and you swing both at the same time, hopefully with a straight body, which it's really, really hard to do, but you're essentially forcing your body to plank in the air.
Okay.
And then you use the pole. So my 11-foot guy, we're working on quick hands from this position. And then you go from here and then you press your right hand from straight up above your head down to your left hip as quickly as possible.
I never got to that point.
Well, this is the part where they end up going upside down.
They're upside down. They're pushing up off the pole.
Legs are up. Uh-huh. Their legs are up. And then the motion of bringing your hand down to your hip is what turns your body over on itself.
Okay.
And now you're looking down where your pole is planted. Your feet are up in the air. And you're going
I
over.
I feel like that will be a very scary moment for a lot of people.
That would be terrifying.
And then you go, well, that's why I have to get kids to trust me, because I'm like, this is what you're supposed to do. Just be patient and I will keep you safe. Just listen. If you listen uh-huh. and do what I say, you will be okay.
Yeah, the technique.
So then you get your feet up and over, but your body bends better with your belly over the bar than with your back over the bar, right? Mm. Like mm-hmm. most people can, I mean, you not that you can touch your toes, but you can fold over at your waist if you go forward. You cannot fold over at your waist backwards.
Right.
To the same degree. So that motion of hand here, up to opposite hip, low, is what turns your body over.
Right. And if you're just listening to this, people, you really need to come watch the live video version, because she's like making motions and leaning and turning and twisting. I mean, you can really see it. I'm actually
ready
doing
to
it
go
with
out
her.
To the track, right?
Yeah, you're gonna come. You can come down to the stadium. We'll be vaulting today.
Well, and I am such I'm an empath with motion.
I say you were moving with me.
Right.
I was like, oh,
I do. I see people move and I start to twitch. It drives my husband crazy.
Oh no, I get it. I totally get it. Anyway, all that said, the core things that we do, the reason I call them functional is because if it has a corollary to what you're actually doing in your event, let's do it.
Right. Yeah.
If it doesn't, there's no point.
Right.
So like the other day we do staying alive planks is what we jokingly call them. And so you're in a plank. Again, I can do planks now. I couldn't do planks last season. My third baby was 5 months old. Mm-hmm. Everything I did was modified. That was actually kind of funny because I would do these modified things and these kids have, my athletes joke about when I'm going to have the next baby, because every other season I'm either pregnant or I have a newborn. I mean, we love kids. This is the first season I haven't. So this is the first season I've truly been able to do everything because right. my core
is healed.
I've worked enough
mm-hmm. right.
that my diastasis is closed and
yes.
I know, I'm so excited. Like, I did push-ups the other day, not very well, because I dropped a baton. That's the penalty. If you drop a baton, it's 10 push-ups. Doesn't matter who you are, you drop a baton. Anyway, I did my push-ups, and they were okay, but I have not done push-ups in so long because I haven't been able to be in that plank position.
Right.
Like, it's just not something right. that I can do.
Yeah, I get questions from people like, okay, I know I can't do planks. Can I do push-ups? And I just kind of...
Same position.
I feel like my puppy. When my puppy is confused, it's like my head kind of does this tilting thing.
Yeah.
Because push-ups are just planks going up and down.
Yeah. Yeah. But
they're harder.
Exactly. They're giving me a hard time and I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't do it yet. But the thing, one thing I can do are, they're called staying alive. You can do planks or push-ups. You're in the plank position. Your right hand goes up. Your left leg comes through. And if you can get yourself in almost like a sideways T, that's good. And then you bring your right there. I'm not going to show you right now because I'd have to move my computer and stuff.
Okay. All right.
But maybe at the end.
I'm very curious about this.
Staying alive.
Is it like a side plank?
Yes.
Okay.
But your left hand's down, your right foot is down, and your left leg is through.
Left hand's down, right foot is down. Right leg is, that sounds like a right. pretzel.
We might have to see this.
Okay. Hold
we
on.
Might.
Let's see it real
but
quick.
But then what's the connection to the staying alive? Anyway,
the connection, well, because it looks like a dance move.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Because you look like you're doing some crazy disco move. And then you switch and you put your right hand down, left hand up, right leg through. And you go back and forth and back and forth. And it looks like, anyway, you can do that as plank or as push-up. But the reason I have my vaulters do it is because they have to be in these extended positions.
Right.
And they have to use their core and connect not only their like ab section of their core, but they have to connect their back. They have to connect their shoulders. They have to connect their hands. Mm-hmm. They have to connect all of it. And they have to move at the same time.
Right.
So can you move through these positions in a controlled manner? Because the first time I introduced a staying alive push-up, well, we did it as a push-up because you do a push-up in between each time. Because they can do it. I can't, but they can.
Right.
They would just do it fast. I was like, right. no, hold on. Speeding right. does not help you. Like, right. that's great that you got it done faster, but it doesn't actually help your body. If you roll, get your body to each of these positions how you're supposed to and not dip your hips and not come up into a mountain, then you're actually right. using your body. Otherwise, you're just getting it done. That check
right.
sheet idea.
I can't stand check sheets. It's one of the reasons why I shy away from giving in to sending lists when people are like, well, what moves can I do? What moves should I avoid? And, or, you know, can you just design a quick set of exercises for me to do at home? Because I can't, I need to spell out the technique and I don't want to just say, do these 10 things. I want to show them, which is why we do video and why I don't spend a lot of time in blogs. It's very rare. I might have 4 or 5 blogs where I'm saying, okay, I need you to do squats because this is a great exercise for postpartum recovery. And here's the technique you would use during postpartum. And here's the technique that you would use if you're going to add weight to it. And that's like 4 paragraphs. A lot.
Yes.
Right.
And it's so much easier just to communicate it.
Right. Okay, show us. Show us the stand.
Okay, hold on. Now I'm all like tangled up in my cords. And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my kids' room because there's room on the floor in there.
Okay. All right, people. This is happening in real time.
So if you're just listening to this podcast, you've got to come over to our website and
watch
Fit to Be Radio and listen to this episode.
Open the window. Okay, so I have to unplug, I think.
And keep in mind that if you're early postpartum and you still have a diastasis that is not regained tension, you don't know how to connect to your core, this is one to put on your bucket list.
Woo! Okay.
Okay.
So, plank.
Right. Nice. Look at that. Good form.
So then left hand up.
Okay.
Right leg through.
Oh, got it. Okay. Hello.
And back. Right hand up, left leg through, and back. So
beautiful.
From this way,
look at the strength.
Right hand, left leg.
Uh-huh.
Here.
Yep.
Left hand, right leg.
And what cue?
Forward than I was.
I can't hear you. Hold on.
Oh, she's like, wait, what?
What? So now I can do it listening to you. So here I am.
Okay, but now cue us. Tell us what you would cue for that. So tummy in, what would you say?
Okay, so before we do anything, you have to stay in a plank. Before I do anything, you have to stay in a plank. And I'm going to get really tired. This is going to be great. Now I understand how it feels for you. Woo!
So talking and teaching.
Mm-hmm. How do you do a plank properly? We talk about that.
Yep.
We talk about how, again, it's easiest for kids to do one thing at a time. I can't do it. I got to take a break. the belly button to the back is the biggest thing, truthfully. Mm-hmm. And then if I was going to cue it, okay, I'll do it now. I'll take a break. No mountains, no valleys, meaning no tush up.
I like that.
No tush up, no hips down. And then you want your shoulders over your hands.
Right.
And then I would say right hand up. And we actually do this for the first time all together.
Right.
So right hand up into a side plank, left foot through. The farther you can get your foot to 90 degrees from your body, mm-hmm. the better, the closer it is to your back foot,
yep.
the easier it is.
Right.
So then you come back to your plank. Always go back to a plank. Mm-hmm. Left hand up, right leg through.
Yep.
And I'm back.
Yep.
And then you do a push-up in between.
Oh my gosh.
If you're feeling good.
that is good shoulder mobility. That's good hip mobility. That's good.
Oh, glute. It's tons.
It's everything. And you know, and I can totally see the application for pole vaulters and really any other sport because of the core, the rigid core that needs to happen, but also it moves a little bit and that's a good thing. And then I know for me, I'm totally gonna use your move. I'm gonna call it the Rachel move. Staying alive. We're gonna put that in a future workout. And I would have people exhale when they're coming out of the side plank, down through the push up and over to the other side.
Yeah.
And then they're grabbing an inhale when they're wide open, exhale as they kick the leg through. Yeah. Okay.
And I tell my kids to exhale on the hard part.
Yes. And you know, because I do as well. For most people, that hard part will be when they're face down because gravity is pulling and there's all the things pulling. And it's also a big, huge dynamic transition to the other side.
So much movement.
Yeah. But some people may struggle with the side plank parts more. They may struggle when they're up there balancing. And so that might be where they need the exhale. And that's something else we emphasize.
Especially get that leg out there. It's a lot of leverage.
Yeah. Right. Which is why that's also why I give the explanation of, okay, it's harder when you put your leg farther up.
Right.
If your leg is close. We also do these other standing core things called T's and fire hydrants. Mm. And it's mostly hip and glutes.
Okay.
But you, so like the...
Go ahead and show us if you want. It's okay. Go ahead. People are already, we've got them transferred over to the site. I know, right?
I gotta figure out where to put my
camera angles.
I think this will work.
It doesn't have to be perfect. It's totally okay.
Well, I know. I just don't know where to balance it. Okay, I'm unplugged. I can't hear you.
Look at the crib in the background. That's so good.
Okay. Oh, now I can hear. Yeah, I can hear because I unplugged it. Okay. So, like a T, you're here in front of yourself.
Okay, your knees up.
The more you can bring your thigh to parallel with the ground, the better.
Right.
If we bring it here, it's less work, right?
Standing leg straight. Lifting leg is at a 90 degree angle. Yep.
And I do what you can just grab.
Right. You can feel their feet.
Mm-hmm. So here, and then you bring it through. Ooh. And as far as you can.
So like a warrior three. Yep. Uh-huh. Or a ballerina motion.
But don't drop it down. So here, bend and come all the way back.
Nice.
And then the other one we jokingly call them fire hydrants because it's like a dog peeing.
Right. Uh-huh. Teenager's going to love that. Yep.
Yep. So you're here. And the more you can keep your thigh parallel with the ground, you come around.
Uh-huh.
You end up in that
teen. Nice. Position.
That looks really hard.
That's beautiful. And I know. Yeah. And the level hips. And the tummy button to spine as you lean over, exhale. Oh, that's such a good move. It's so good for the glutes too. So those single leg ballerina or single leg is one of the highest recruitment exercises for the glutes. And step ups.
Yes.
So if you're stepping up onto a box,
yes, we do those.
And then the motion you just did, when they hook up electrodes to people's butt muscles, their glutes, they just go crazy. They go the craziest during
that. When you say recruitment, is that what you mean? Like What do you mean when you say recruitment?
Turning on a muscle?
Yeah. Like they enlist them for duty.
That's cool.
And the more fibers get enlisted, the more the muscle is taxed, and then the muscle is stimulated to get stronger.
Right.
And we need, everybody needs powerful glutes, not just athletes. Mamas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's been the nice thing. Like for a while, my youngest crib was actually a portable one. So he actually slept on the ground on a mat, but like inside of a blow up crib essentially. And he had a zipper on the side, and I could nurse him. I could squat down, put him in, get out, and stand back up and not hit the few creaky spots on the floor, because I could keep my feet in the same spot.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. So if you were gonna like give a couple quick pieces of advice, because we have to jump onto another podcast we're recording this morning. But like, what would you tell? Hi.
She's like, what's her name?
What would you tell other coaches? Hi, sweetie.
I would tell them to take 5 minutes and look at what they do for their core work for their athletes.
Yeah.
And determine if it's functionally useful to have them do what they've been having them do.
Right.
And whether that means that you have to think of something else, or you have to enlist another coach from a different event to have your kids jump in with their core work.
Right.
Because truthfully, a lot of the motions are similar across track and field, which is why, like, people can be good at the decathlon. It's 10 events, or heptathlon for women, 7. There's all these events, but truthfully, if you are a good athlete, you can do them all.
Right.
And what makes a good athlete? A good athlete has a solid foundation. Where does that solid foundation come from? A good core. And so I would say teach your athletes that a good core doesn't mean you look good in a swimsuit when season is over, and evaluate whether or not the exercises you're having your athletes do actually contribute to their performance. In other words, is there a corollary? Is there something useful for them besides just, well, you did it?
Right.
Right.
What does it actually do for you?
Right.
Exactly. So, I love that.
Yeah. I like that.
That's what I'd say.
Well, Rachel, thank you for spending time with us today.
Yeah, this sure thing.
Definitely the first where we've gotten a workout mid. I mean, that's pretty sweet. Again, if you're listening to this and you've made it all the way through listening only, you definitely owe it to yourself to go back and watch the video from our website. So Rachel, where can people find you?
I have a public feed for my team on Instagram, which is EHS track and field. And you even spell out the word and. I do have a personal one as well. And it's Mrs. Zupke, MRSZUPKE, but that one's private. I mean, I'll probably add you. I just don't have it super public because it's got my kids and stuff on there.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But yeah, the EHS track and field, you can go look at pictures of pole vaulters and videos of pole vaulters.
Yeah, and see some of the fun things you do with your team. Yeah. It's really cool. You get some great ideas.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for spending time with us. We really appreciate it. It was fun to have you on. And I feel like I should go try some pole vaulting now. I don't know. I won't actually do that. I would myself.
If you do, I get to video it.
In the summertime they have adult meets that you can go compete at.
Oh my gosh, that would be
absolutely. Chris,
we should do that. We should do that. We should show up at one.
Okay, so if we do that, Rachel, we'll send you the video and you can
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Sure thing. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was a doozy. Thanks for listening. I really hope that you join us in our community over at fittobe.com. You can join as a member for one low monthly rate or an awesome yearly rate that includes everything. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on our social media, on Twitter at fittobe, on Instagram at fittobestudio, and on Facebook under fittobe tummy safe fitness. See you soon.